today's episode of The Andrew Haynes Show, we sat down with Doug Holtzman, the VP of Business Development at Sports Digita. Doug started his career working for a creative artist agency while in St. Louis, Missouri, and later worked in corporate partnerships and sales for teams like the Houston Rockets, New Orleans Saints, and Tampa Bay Rays. Leading up to his time with Sports Digita, Doug worked for Learfield IMG College, Media Brokers International, and was most recently the CEO of On Track Sports Entertainment. In his current role at Sports Digita, he leads all of their business development, helping teams work smarter and sell faster utilizing a modern presentation platform that they built called the Digideck. And now, a word from one of our sponsors.
Every live event is filled with moments of excitement. LiveSource is a new game-changing app that allows you to create auctions instantly during these moments, as the crowd's excitement is at a fevered pitch.
His second triple of the game.
Imagine, after spectacular moments, you could remove any item from the field of play and place it into a live auction in less than a minute while the game is still on. Imagine the fans in attendance bidding on and winning one-of-a-kind memorabilia and experiences from that event while the event is still going on. LiveSource handles the heavy lifting so that there are no limits on what can be sold or when it can be sold. Auctions can be created in less than 60 seconds, at which time the app immediately notifies fans to start bidding, determines the winning bidder, and arranges payment and delivery moments later. Excite your audience with highly shareable moments. Motivate more fans to attend your event, increase revenue. With LiveSource, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
Well, we're back, and thank you, LiveSource, for the support. It's great. Doing these podcasts are a lot of time, so it is great to have a paid advertiser. So they've been with us about 2 months. Check out livesourceapp.com. Today, we got another great show in that space, tech space, I call it, technology. I had the pleasure of using the platform with the Nationals. But today, I've got Doug Holtzman. He's Vice President of Business Development with Sports Digita. How's it going, Doug?
Doing all right. It's Tuesday, right?
Let's go. It's the almost middle of the week, almost.
That's right.
You know what? I'm a weirdo when it comes to, like, work though. Like I don't like to sit around and do nothing. So even on a weekend, if I don't have stuff to do, like I get annoyed. Like I'd rather work than sit around and like watch TV or just do nothing, but I'm weird like that. So
I know exactly where you're coming from.
Well, you know, when you do what you love and what you're passionate about, it's like, I'm 42. I feel like I've never worked in my life, even though I put the hours in, and it's just, I love it. So it's fun, but you know, we've been following each other on LinkedIn for a while. So I'm always seeing what you're doing and kind of, you know, watched your career over the years. So walk us through kind of, you know, where you grew up and your journey along the way.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So I'm actually originally from St. Louis, Missouri, but you know, everyone, you know,
what part of St. Louis were you in?
St. Louis, so in West County, so Clayton is where I'm from.
Okay, I love Clayton. I lived in O'Fallon, which was okay. St. Charles County.
Yep.
But we would go to Clayton for like Ruth Chris and
for sure.
Morton's is there, so the great restaurants.
Your O'Fallon is very close to the home of Ryan Robertson, my boy, from St. Charles West High School.
Oh, nice. Right there.
So one of the basketball big men of his time right there.
Yeah, it's a great area. So you grew up in St. Louis.
I did.
Nice.
I did. You know, it's funny. I come from a huge sports family. So people always ask, like, hey, how'd you get into to sports? I was born into it. So my dad was a pitcher in the St. Louis Cardinals organization. His brother, my Uncle Kenny, was a legendary St. Louis pitcher, worked his way up, went to University of Illinois, was an All-American there. Was drafted by the Cubs, played 15 years in the major leagues, has 5 World Series rings, a couple no-hitters. So as and obviously being a Holtzman right there, I was kind of expected just to play a little bit of baseball growing up right there. But but as I always tell the story, is my dad got the changeup and it got him to the minor leagues. My uncle got the curveball, it got him to the major leagues. And I got the looks and it got me freaking nowhere. Right there.
Hey, but you know? Still have it, man. You still you're right. Looking good, man.
That's right. But no, I always knew from day one that if I couldn't make it on the field, I was going to work in sports. And it's funny, like even if you talk to my parents' friends today and said, you know, 40 plus years ago, what was Doug going to do? And they'd be like, oh, he's going to work in sports. Like there's no question in the world. So did you
play? Were you pretty competitive, like, you know, growing up? Or
I played in basketball, the AAU circuit. So I was on a team in St. Louis called the St. Louis Gators right there, which had Ryan Robertson and a few others. So we had guys that all went and played Division One and played in the NBA and in Europe. But I was I always say I was the 12th best player in St. Louis. The toughest thing is there was 11 players that were better than me that were on the freaking team at the same time. But then played baseball and I excelled in that as well. Went to University of Kansas, tried to play ball, but hurt my arm. Your arm could go so far these days. But started literally day one that I got there thinking about how am I going to make a career on the business side of sports.
And did you realize that pretty early on in your college? Like, hey, I'm definitely going to work in the front office somewhere.
You know, when I was in high school, I started getting a lot of mentors, and one of them actually being from St. Louis was Marty Hendon. And he was the great PR great from the St. Louis Cardinals. And he, irony speaks, went to high school with my mom and dad. So knew him forever. And I bet you I started talking to him actually when I was about 7, 8 years old. He knew that's what I wanted to do. And then from there and being on the Gators, I was on Mark Sauer's son, Peter Sauer is on it, and Mark ran the Blues and he ran the Pirates and he ran the Cardinals. And it's funny, and to this day, whenever I talk to him, he always says, you know, he knew I wanted to work in sports. He said, don't do it. Don't freaking do it. Go work in business, do that. And then later on come if you want to do it. And I was like, I'm going to show you, you know, and so I kind of had those mentors, you know. And then in college, irony is I met up with Steve Shanwald when he ran the Bulls. And literally, like, you know, and those guys really helped mold my career and helped guide me. Because, you know, like parents always say, you know, your you know what doesn't stink, right? But mentors are there to really help you and guide you and say the good, the bad, but the ugly about certain things.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's big. So what was your first big break out of college? Like, where'd you kind of start your career?
I was a kind of a lucky SOB, always at the right place at the right time. So my first job in sports actually was with the Rockford Lightning in the CBA, so the Continental Basketball Association. And literally, when I got there, this is just small world, Isaiah Thomas buys the league. So he actually put me through grad school when I worked for him for 2 years. And being in Rockford, he put all of his kind of, quote unquote, his boys on the team that were the coaches. And, you know, I'm this basketball nut. And all of a sudden, you got, you know, Darryl Walker's a coach and all these other guys. And, you know, and I'm just, you know, had a great time, but learned, right? And learned everything about it. So during those 2 years, you know, you learn working in that type of environment to do 12 different jobs at once.
Everything.
And you really appreciate it, right? So who would have thought I would have put on a mascot uniform? I remember the time the guy got sick and they're like, Doug, you're 6 feet. You can fit that. I'm like, oh crap, you know, like here it comes, right? And I put it on, right? And it was embarrassing as hell, but I had a great time. You know, I had a great time.
Smells great.
Yeah, and it's there, and it's ironic how your everything starts shifting. And I literally one day got an email from the New Orleans Saints, and they wanted me to come down and interview for a corporate partnerships position. And I was only 24, and I was like, okay, these people are much older than I am. And I remember I flew down and I interviewed with everybody the entire day. And then the last stop on the journey was with the person who ran it, and his name was Arnie Fielko. So his past, he actually was in the CBA as the commissioner of the CBA years prior, right? And it happens.
So but you're like, done deal.
It's crazy, right? So I'm kind of in his office. I'm kind of seeing this. I'm waiting for him. And then I kind of look, and I see this picture of the 1969 Cubs, and another picture of my uncle on that team. And that, so he comes in and I said, okay, now I know why you got me here. You just wanted some stories. So, but honestly, Arnie's one of the greats in sports, and he brought me on, and I think at that time I was the youngest corporate salesman in all the NFL. But what you had to do is you had to prove yourself, because, you know, I remember vividly we hired this intern and he was like 4 years older than I was. I'm like, holy crap, you know? So I just couldn't show up and expect to do work. I had to work that much more than the other people. I was always, and I remember Steve told me this, Steve Shanwald said, hey, be the first there and last to leave. And that's what I was, right? I had to make that impact, but you had to sell at the end of the day. You had to learn how to sell. And I was there for 5 years, and it's, and the lucky as I was is, you know, we're hosting the Super Bowl. And so it's funny that, you know, you had Tom Brady win. Well, 20 years ago, that's where the Saints were hosting that Super Bowl. It was his very first one. And it's amazing, right? I mean, like, yeah. I'm old and decrepit now, and this guy's still playing right there.
I can't even get out of bed. This guy just won his seventh Super Bowl.
Unfreaking real. Unfreaking real. So it's – but honestly, you learn so many things. And there I started learning not only selling locally, but, like, regionally. And then because, you know, they were a regional team. And then because we were hosting all these national events, I was selling nationally. So when I was selling to these companies, I was like, hey, wait, a bonus is you have the freaking Saints. By the way, we host the Super Bowl and we host the Sugar Bowl and we host the national championship and the Final Four. And by the way, your sign's going to be up for everything. So I got to learn that at a quick age, which not a lot of people get to do.
How tough was that, though, going from, you know, okay, like CBA, that's going to be local advertising, maybe yep. regional, you know, and then taking it a step further. Like, how was that transition for you? Because, you know, I've always been at the minor league level, but I've always kind of had it in the back of my mind, man, I'd love the opportunity at a higher level. Mm-hmm. But I haven't had that experience of selling, you know, national deals all the time.
You know, the way I've always thought about it, it's funny. If my mom's listening to this, she's going to make fun of me. So my dad likes to play cards. So he taught me how to play poker, right? And throughout these years, and that's what I think of it as poker chips. So if one poker chip is a $500 deal in the CBA, or that same poker chip, think of it as a $500,000 deal in the NFL. And that's the way I always looked at it as. But I always looked at it not from my standpoint, I looked at their standpoint. So, right? How can what they're doing, right, make it work for them? It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with them. And that's how I always took that standpoint as. And what can I do to make you look good in your position? Because if I did that, I did my job. Whether you pay me $5, whether you pay me $500,000 or $5 million. And I kind of took that stance. And it just, I don't even think of it as money. It's how to make them succeed in whatever they're trying to get after.
Yeah. And I mean, I would take it, you know, the sales process is very similar, no matter, you know, the dollars, you know, when you approach it like that as well.
You know, it's funny when I was in Rockford, Illinois, right. And this is years and years ago, right. We had guys like Tim Salier, who's been at he's been at the Spurs forever now. And Tim and I remember he used to laugh and he's like, man, Doug, you're killing it here in Rockford. If you could sell in Rockford, Illinois, you could sell freaking anything. And you really like appreciate, because $500 to a small business or $1,000 to a small business is almost sometimes harder to sell than it is $1 million to a big business.
It's weird. I mean, you know, not to that level, but when I was in St. Louis for 3 years, I owned the St. Louis Ambush indoor soccer team.
I remember that.
And, arena football. And, you know, a big sponsorship for that, for our soccer team was, you know, like a $75,000 to $100,000 per year. You know, mm-hmm. a 3-year deal. So that was a huge, you know, huge deal for our league, you know, top tier. But I ended up selling a few of those and they became easier than almost like a $5,000 deal.
You're right.
And it's kind of, you know, it was strange, but it really opened up my eyes to it. And, you know, that has been about the highest I could sell at the minor league level and still provide a good enough return for a partner. I don't want to just sell a $200,000 deal a year to hit that number. And then they're pissed off because it didn't achieve what they needed to. So,
well, makes sense.
So I feel like I've maxed that level out. So that's kind of cool. I always like to hear those stories of, you know, the transition, you know, for that. You were with the Saints for a handful of years. Where'd you go from there?
It's fine. So I was there for 5 years. And so again, every story has everything has a story, right? So the Thursday before Hurricane Katrina, actually 2 weeks prior to that, I started thinking, I got a call from the Tampa Bay. They were the Devil Rays at that time.
Okay.
And I'm thinking to myself, why the hell would I go there? Right. I mean, it's like this was the old Devil Rays team, right? So I kind of thought about it. I was like, you know what? I'll take the meeting. So the Thursday before Hurricane Katrina, I flew out there. Irony is, I was just thinking about this morning. Literally, as I get on the plane, the person behind me is one of my big sponsors at that time was Outback Steakhouse. One of the local owners who I really got to know, right, is sitting right behind me. And I'm in a suit and tie, you know, and in the middle, you know, in August, he's like, so Doug, where are you interviewing? I mean, he knew it right away. So, you know, I flew to Tampa and I remember I kind of walked around and they were saying, hey, you know, it's going to be different. You know, Matt's going to take over, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it was kind of like, let me think about it. You know, it's one of these, like, I'm like, I'm in a good situation here. You know, this, I got to go to this. I'm like, let's think. Well, I fly back and I remember Friday night, the Saints had a preseason game and I might've gone out a little bit on Friday night and got in maybe Saturday morning. Right. And I remember my phone started ringing off it kept on ringing. I'm like, what the heck's going on? It was my family calling. Like, what are you doing? Like, what do you mean? As they woke me up. Right. And I'm like, you need to get out of there. It's the hurricane's coming. So I literally grabbed a bag of clothes, my computer, and my iPod, not iPad. That dates me right there. Yeah. And I jump in my car and I head to Tunica, Mississippi for the night. I was like, oh, I'll go for the night, you know, gamble a little bit and I'll come back the next day. Right. And I never came back. And I remember on Monday, I called the Rays and I said, well, I remember I said I really wasn't interested. Yeah. Maybe I am right there. I said, there's a little caveat here. I don't have any clothes or anything. I'm like, I don't know what's left. You know, you literally, I have my car. I can make it there in about 2 days, but let's see what we can do. And then I went to Tampa to become their director of sponsorships. And there were some very cool people there at the time. So that's when you had guys like Tom Hoof come in, who's now, you know, at Ottawa Senators. You had Brian Killensworth come in, who's at the Knights. You had Clark Beacom there, who now is at Austin. So you had some great people that have gone on to some very cool careers. And we all kind of got there, right, and got together and like, you know what, let's try to make this work. You know, and that's when, you know, Tom and got dropped the Devil and we became the Devil Rays or became the Rays and made it to the World Series. But, you know, from a business standpoint, it was kind of cool because we started over and it was the first time I remember Greg Economou. We actually brought his old company in there and he taught me something for the first time. I never thought about it. I was always sell, sell, sell. Right. I'll sell to, I don't care who it is. Right. As long as they give us money. But he said it and he kind of thought about it and he goes, Doug, think about this. He goes, sell something that actually fits. And I remember the first time he said that I stopped and I consider myself a student of the game. And I thought about that and I was like, holy crap. Like, and we came up with the idea of this Ray tank out in right center field. And I was thinking, I was like, yeah, you could always go to Chevy and you can do that, but does that fit? And I remember I went to it was the St. Pete Clearwater Convention Visitors Bureau, which at that time was called floridabeach.com. And I was like, normally I'd come out to you, whatever. I want you to come out. I just want to talk to you and show you something for 5 minutes and talk about a natural fit. Right. And that was that Ray tank was kind of the first thing, not only that I sold, it was huge. It was a big deal, but was a natural fit. And, you know, from there I started doing some cool things. I remember Rich Herrera and I, came up with, on Tuesdays, we brought kids that were very sick and they'd come to the game with their families and have it just a special day. And I remember again, we were calling it Tuesday's Champion. And I was like, Rich, I got an idea. And we knew in Bradenton, we knew the guys from Champ Sports. And I called Rob Broderson, who was there at the time. I was like, Rob, do me a favor, like come here on Tuesday. And I literally sat with Rob and as they did this and Rob's crying and I'm crying as we're watching this thing. And he's like, what can we do to help? Right. And it was a natural fit. It was Tuesday's Champion brought to you by Champs. Right. And so I start. And again, I every time I talk to Greg, I always remind him of this. And this is back in, 2005 to 2008, like during those years where I really learned like, okay, the value of a partnership and making sure it fits for both parties. And sometimes less is more. And sometimes it's okay to walk away from a deal, right? And say, you know what, just, you know, shake hands and maybe another time. And so I learned a lot during those years.
How was it, you know, going from NFL property to, you know, Tampa? And, you know, yeah. Tampa struggled, you know, like with the location and things like that. So, like, was it a much difficult, you know, sell, or was it, you know, a different approach? Like, tell me about that.
Much different approach. So, got to remember, too, I'm also a baseball guy, right? I mean, at the same time. So, I enjoy being on the field. Irony is actually, when I was in undergrad, I was looking at grad schools to go to, and I was going to be a grad assistant baseball coach and go down that path. And my uncle Kenny made me call Lou Piniella and to see what he thought about being a manager. And in the first 2 minutes, he talked me out of it right there, literally. So the first manager at the Rays when I get there is Sweet Lou right there. So it's kind of funny, right? How it all worked out. But, you know, I took the approach of this. So that's a tough sell. You know, the New Orleans Saints were number 1, 2, 3 in that city, in that state, in that region. Like they were kings. The Rays weren't. But what I did was, and I'm always been a student of the game, is hold on a second. I noticed at that time the schedule was different than it was today. And I was like, hold on, we played 9 home games against the New York Yankees. And by the way, they also have Big Matsui, and their games are always broadcast in Japan. And then hold on a sec, we're playing 9 home games against the Red Sox, who have Matsuyama and all this stuff. I started doing the math and I started doing a lot of research. And then I said to myself, hold on a sec, at that time, I could get, whether, let's say, signage, I could get home plate signage or outfield wall signage at a fraction of the cost that if you were a Yankee sponsor. But guess what? I'm going after that same market. So I didn't even look at it as Tampa. That was just one of the markets I looked at as I've got literally like 10% of my games are in Boston and 10% are New York and this. And then I started looking at all the Japanese teams that we were playing, or players, teams with Japanese players. And then I was doing the math. I was like, wait, it's about half of our home games are broadcast in Japan. On not only live, but also then at night on the rebroadcast for them. So that's how I looked at it. So I took a totally different approach of that one, and knock on wood, was pretty successful there because of it.
In a world where people are more aware and plugged in than ever, it's not enough to just have a great product. Consumers are looking for brands they can relate to. That's where Egghead Creative comes in. Everything they do is powered by deepening the connection with your brand. And every time you do business with them, they'll build a bespoke team of highly specialized creatives designed specifically around what you need. For more information, visit eggheadcreativestudio.com. That's EGGHEAD creativestudio.com. Or follow them on Instagram at Egghead Creative Studio. Now back to the show.
So did you start identifying, you know, companies overseas then to have it? Yeah.
I went over to Japan and I was the first one to do that with them. And so went over there and, you know, first of all, what they think of baseball is unbelievable, right? It's you know, like, God forbid you walk on a field and spit, you know, like a seed on the field, like you can't do that. Right. And baseball to them is like sacred, and they respect the game. The players do, the managers do, the fans do. And went over there and got some great partnerships. Again, we had a player that was from Japan, our second baseman. But more importantly, they knew exactly the number of games when we were playing, whether it's Seattle, New York, Boston, Chicago at the time, that all had prominent players. So they were able to get access to us much easier.
Yeah, that's great. I've noticed a lot more teams in the last probably 3 to 5 years doing that, you know, with, you know, who is it? The Warriors in the NBA, Cleveland, Cavs, you know, Houston.
Yep. I was actually in Houston after that when Yao Ming was there.
So how did that help out? Like, you already had some contacts, you know, over there?
Yeah. So, well, now you switched, you kind of moved across, stayed in the same region, but moved countries right there. But then you're talking about, you literally had almost like at the time Sunday or Monday night football broadcast numbers over in China.
Damn.
For every single Houston Rockets game. And I mean, when that went, so he brought it global.
Yeah.
Also helped that you had other like Kobe and all these other guys playing right there, but he brought the game globally. But it was almost not worth the time of the Rockets at that time to get American sponsors because these Chinese sponsors were spending 5 to 7 times more than the same company in America. It's crazy when you start. They wanted to be a part of with anything to do with Yao Ming. They wanted to be a part of. So that was amazing. Yeah,
that is. So kind of walk me through from there up until where you're at now.
Yeah, it's funny. I remember from there, I heard about how college was sold. So now I'm in the NBA on this one, but I heard about how college sold. And I'm a college basketball junkie. Again, going to University of Kansas, I mean, you literally feel this every home game. It's nuts of how crazy that is. And I had a friend that was there, and I didn't even know that it was kind of a third party that sold it. And then I heard about Ben Sutton. And I literally gave him a call one day, and his secretary answered. I'm like, you don't know who I am. I said, I'd love to talk to Ben. I'm like, I just heard about exactly how you all work. I'm like, I think I can make you a boatload of money. I'm like, I think this is awesome. And 2 days later, they flew me to Winston-Salem. And I remember from there, they're like, okay, we're going to hire you. We're just going to figure out where the heck we're going to put you. It's going to be either in the middle of the country, like in a Chicago, or one of the coasts, and we're going to figure this out. And at first, they kind of wanted me to learn how it was like at a school. So they put me at Northern Illinois University as their general manager for two reasons. Number one, that's where I got my master's at. So I kind of knew that. So always having blood there. But number two is they wanted me to sell regionally out of Chicago at the same time. So, went there and kind of learned that business. It is much different. You know, people think that's a hard sell as well.
What are some of the differences that, you saw between the two?
So prime example, let's say whether you're in minor league sports or major league sports, and you have an idea right now, or let's say you want to sell something, boom, it's sold today and the game's tonight. You could get it up there. You're going to work your, right off, but you could get up there. In college, sometimes you then have to go to your athletic director or the person under them
or red tape,
get permission. Also, you only pay for certain rights. So if it's outside of that, what's on that piece of paper, you need to get permission. So if let's say it's this outside the box type idea, right? Or with a hashtag, whatever, you need to get permission from your school. So you can't just make it happen on that one. So there are times I remember though that I had this unbelievable idea, someone that was going to give us 6-7 type figures, and we couldn't do the deal. It's just the way it works right there. But it makes you want to, throw yourself into a wall and like, what's going on? But that's just how the college world works when it comes to third parties.
Yeah.
On that one. But so from there I was there, and then they moved me to the Air Force Academy. So I opened up Air Force Academy there. And that was the most interesting sell of my lifetime, because, now you had companies that were giving money to the school so that when the president of the United States or the vice president of the United States or the secretary of defense would come to a game and look at the scoreboard, that their company was right next to Air Force. Crazy. That's all they cared about. It was absolutely crazy. And it's just a different sell. So never before, think about it, whether you're in the minor leagues or major leagues, trying to get into Boeing or Lockheed or one of those, like near impossible, right?
Right.
You're literally fielding calls from them.
They're calling you. Damn.
Yes, and saying, what can I do to get here for this? This is what I need to do. And here's some money, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely crazy on that one. So it was a thrill. But you learn a lot. But I will say one thing. I respect the heck out of every service men, women in the world that have ever served, because some of the things that I saw and were privileged to during that, wow. I mean, I want to hug a soldier anytime, or their family, anytime I see them, because makes you real proud to be American.
Oh yes.
But then from there they moved me to Atlanta, and my wife's from Atlanta. So I kind of told them, hey, when I come on board, I'll go for a ride, but I need to get my butt to Atlanta before my oldest was 4 or 5 years old. And then I was selling regionally and nationally out of Atlanta. So then it's now going selling nationally, you know, all these schools. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I mean, I've seen the growth of Learfield and everything they've been doing. I mean, it's been great. So
definitely interesting space from there.
So how did you get into, say, the tech side of things?
Yeah, it started actually when I got out. So, you know, my daughter was getting into school, and as all my friends that work for teams know, it's like, you know, I wanted to be the coach, right? And I like doing this and doing that stuff. It's tough when you're working for a team and all that. So I actually got recruited to go to one of the top 10 advertising agencies in America to run and start their sports division. And it's called MBI. They didn't know how to buy sports sponsorships. They knew how to do everything else on earth. They knew how to buy radio and TV, digital, outdoor, et cetera. But as we all know, right, when it comes to sponsorship sales, you ask 100 people, you're going to get 100 different answers. So now I came in and I'm literally buying back from my old self, which is hilarious, right? And I could tell you some great stories of friends, but all of a sudden I'm everybody's buddy. You know,
come on, Doug. Come on, man.
You know, hey, Doug, how you doing? Oh, by the way, I heard you represent Honda. You know, it was just, you know, just they worked that into the conversation, right?
Yeah.
So, but I honestly, I had a blast doing it. But, you know, it. But here's something. I started thinking about things there. So you asked me about tech. I started to think about what people were telling me in my career. So when I was selling, and I vividly remember people saying, Doug, you need to tell a story. And you can't do that the way you're presenting. And it wasn't knock at me. It was how I was presenting it. And then I was thinking to myself, God, I remember being at some teams and it would take like 5 to 10 business days to get a presentation back. And then God forbid it was wrong, right? And I got to go back to the marketing department and say, hey guys, you know, and it sucks when that happens. But, you know, so all this stuff, I didn't even realize I was going through this. And I remember too, the first time, this is a great story. I won't say which team, they came in and they did exactly what you and I would do. I brought about 15 of our media buyers in this room, and it was myself and this team came in and they did, again, what you and I would do. They printed out 25 copies and they came and they handed everybody a copy. It was bound, it was fresh, you know, exactly what you would do, right? And then they presented to us and then they walked out of the room. And I remember every media director turned and walked away and threw that piece of paper in the recycle. And I said, stop. Like, what are you doing? You know, I literally said it like, what do you mean? Like, do you realize how much time and money this guy spent on this? And you're literally throwing it away. And they said, if we kept everything that people would give us, we'd have to get another, like a trucks and trucks and trucks to store all this stuff. We don't care about this stuff. And it's just so funny. And I started thinking about this and it was kind of pissed me off, but it kind of like something went off in my mind. And then literally the next day, a team, the New York Yankees, pitched me about one of our clients. And this presentation blew me away. And so much so, like I kept on looking at it. I looked at it from my iPhone and it looked awesome. I looked at it from my iPad, looked awesome. My computer looked awesome. And you shouldn't do this. I forwarded on to all my friends at teams. I'm like, look, I'm like, don't look at the last page, but you need to copy what they're doing. This is the best presentation I've ever seen. You need to figure out who it was in there and bring them on board. And I literally told people, or pay the Yankees to do this. And everyone started shooting back to me, this is Sports Digita. So that was the first time. I never gave Angelina a chance because I was so busy at all these teams. But this is the first time I literally saw it, like literally like it affected my life. And I remember going home and I told my wife, I'm like, I just saw something today. I'm like, I'm happy where I'm at right now, but I am going to work for this company. I'm like, I don't know when it's going to work. And the irony is, you know, from there I met up with a tech genius and he brought me on board to be a CEO of his company. It was a technology company in sports entertainment. We worked at a lot of AR, VR, beacon technology, those type things. We had about 70 people. But all I did for those 2 years, I mean, you're just raising money. And I love being a CEO. Don't get me wrong, but I'd never do it again. You know, it's one of those things that it's just, you know, it's tough, right? You're raising money and this and this. And I didn't enjoy it. And I remember I shot a note to Angelina and to Christy. And I said, hey, I was like, they want to exit this company. And we should talk. I'm like, and the rest is history. And I've been at Sports Digital ever since. And it's actually ironic. Yesterday was my 3-year anniversary here. So I've been here for 3 years.
Congrats. Yeah. So, I mean, I think most people in the space know what it is, but kind of give us a little overview of the platform.
Sure. When I talk to people around sports, I always say this, people laugh, right? People think of us always as that PowerPoint on steroids. But the best way to explain it is we're a web and cloud-based presentation builder with built-in analytics that work easily with your CRM system and allows you to create custom presentations in the matter of minutes. So it could be used 17 different ways. So some of the common ways teams use us: sponsorship sales and onboarding and recaps, season ticket sales, group sales, renewals, game programs. Then we got into the recruiting side. So now when you're going after a free agent, you could present them that deck all about your team, all about the city, et cetera, free agency. The list goes on and on. So it's funny, when I first got here 3 years ago, we were more segmented in about 6-7 different ways. Now 17 different ways. We've completely taken off. It's I was just doing the numbers today. So we work with now in the big five leagues, the big five, so NBA, Major League Baseball, et cetera, we work with between 37 and 55% of every one of their teams. So that's pretty cool when you think about that. So the bigs, so the New York Yankees, the Dodgers, the Lakers, et cetera, but also small market teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars, Milwaukee Brewers. But then we hit minor league baseball. So as you knew us at the Nationals when they had them, just under 50% of minor league baseball teams use us. So that's single A, double A, and triple A. So teams like the Columbia Fireflies or the El Paso Chihuahuas. And side note, minor league baseball is the best names on earth. I love them. I love each and every one of them.
Some of them. I don't know.
They're great ones. The Rocket City Trash Panda is one of our partners. Is one of my favorite. I just love saying it right there. I'm a proud hat. I do.
They have a good I saw their deck from you guys.
Mm-hmm. So. They do. And think about that. The same teams are utilizing that same platform as the Yankees, as the Milwaukee Brewers and the Kansas City Royals. So, and that's what's big there. You can, we kind of say it, right? You can give someone a big league presentation.
What I really liked about it, my first time using it was last year. I was the VP of sales for Fredericksburg National. So, our partnership team used it, but like we didn't have to go to the marketing department or anybody else to create a proposal. It's like, hey, create this, send me a link. Let me take a quick look at it. Boom. Send it out. You get your email when it starts getting looked at, good follow-ups. So I loved it, to be honest with you. I really enjoyed using it.
I've had more people that are at a place, at a team, leave and literally say, you're my first call. And we are their first call, and it happens all the freaking time. It is incredible. Again, I learned old school how to sell. So now you're using your old school method, which is great, but incorporating new school. So analytics, if people aren't using it, I'm saying get in the freaking game, because I put it there is that, you'll get an email as soon as that person opens up the deck. And then you're able to go in that deck and look at exactly what he looked at and for how long he looked at it for. So think about when I'm following up, I always tell this story. I'd say, hey, Andrew, it's Doug. I just want to make sure, were you able to open up that deck that I sent you? And so I'm baiting the you-know-what out of you, right?
Right.
You want to lie to me. So if you lie, great, I'm just going to cross you off my list.
Right.
If you don't lie, then I'm saying, hey, remember we talked about blank? And I'm saying that because you were on that more than most. So I'm kind of inside your head. So if you aren't using it, you need to. And I say it to people all the time. I don't care how good of a seller or bad of a seller you are. It will make you an unbelievable seller just by having that.
Are you guys NHL? Do you guys, I can't think of the team. I want to say it might've been Dallas or somebody, but some NHL team that's using you guys. They had a lot of great video stuff in their thing. We didn't quite have that kind of stuff yet in Fredericksburg because we were a brand new team, but the capabilities look amazing. And how long does it take to get set up? Because again, when I get my next gig, I want to give you a call, Doug, and say, hey, how long will it take to get set up,
roughly? Yeah, don't say this too loud because Angelina's listening. She may say she's not going to pay me on this now. You know, no. No, how long? So I've been here 3 years. I've brought on 77 different new partners. 70 of them have been in sports. So I can say the average time. So if we signed a contract today with someone is 4 to 5 weeks and you're up and running. We've got it down to a science and an art at the same time. We pride ourselves in customer service. So now you have someone that's building your deck. Then you're going to have a separate person teaching you exactly how to use it, both from the salespeople, but also the back end people. And then you have a customer success person that's going to make sure you're using it correctly, talk about all the new features throughout. So, and then you've got me right there. You can listen to my BS for days and days right there. So it's
onboarding as well for your clients?
I'm there the whole time. And okay. It is amazing that, you know, it comes full circle your career. And out of those 70, I've probably known 67 of them, right? People, but it's just who's in your circle. And again, as I say this is, I could probably sell you a pencil, but I don't like pencils, right? Yeah. But if I believe in something and I know it is going to help you, that's awesome, right? And that's what I'm doing. I know I'm going to help you because at the end of the day, you're going to be like, hey, Doug, you made me money. Thanks.
Well, the other thing, what I think is pretty cool is like you've been on our side of it. Mm-hmm. So like you're not just a tech sales guy like that knows the product great. That's all fun and dandy. But like you can relate to our problems. And basically this is solving one of the problems that we have.
You named the problem. I had it. We call them pain points, right? But when I say this, I say this on every one of my calls, but I 100% mean it. I'm a moron. Like if you ask my wife, who's the biggest moron she knows, she's going to point right to me. And like, if I can figure out how to put together a presentation in 5 minutes, anybody can, and we teach you how to do it. So it's so awesome. Like I would literally get the cleaning person to put together decks for me before when I was doing PowerPoints and PDFs and they all sucked. Right. But you're going to put together fast. You're going to be able to put videos and you're going to show exactly what sign is going to look like. You're going to have custom infographics that move and just you're going to do the wow factor things. Like you've got to show that like what separates you from competitors. Why should they choose you? And you're telling that story and that's so big, you know, and I say this to people all the time again, and I use this mind now, right? It's not about me. It's about you. So you need to tell that story is how your company is going to help them reach their goals.
Well, and I think too, when you're trying to sell a premium product, you know, or a high ticket, you know, item, you don't want it to look like a middle school kid made it on PowerPoint, you know? Exactly. And so, you know, I that's what I really liked about it. And then just how fast I could get deals done as far as proposal. I could go have my meeting today and the same day I could have that proposal wrapped up and sent out, if not that day, the next day, no problem. You know, it's literally is minutes.
I use the term all the time. They make fun of me at the office, but it's a game changer.
And to be honest, I never got trained on it. So, you know, I kind of got thrown into the fire as soon as I got
there. Right there. I love it.
It was like, you know, one of the sales reps was like, hey, this is it. I was like, all right, I'll just look through it. And so it was really easy to pick up. But I'm sure I wasn't fully even utilizing it. So next time I'm going to make sure I go through some training and really do it. But I mean, it really didn't take much we were closing deals left and right there. So, and it was a big part of it.
Yep. And it is amazing. I'll tell you, we had our first father son combo use it. So we had, I won't say the last name, but someone at the Infinite Energy Center and his son now at the Atlanta Hawks uses it. And that is freaking awesome. Right. And so like literally two generations. So again, somebody that is a little bit more green is going to pick this up very quickly. Someone that is so used to doing the same thing for the last 30, 40 years, they're going to actually pick it up quickly as well. And once they switch, they're going to realize, oh my gosh, look how much time and energy I was doing and all this stuff. Now I'm ready to rock.
Is the program the same for like minor league teams as it is the major league club, or is it like a light version?
No, they're all similar, but it all depends is if they add certain components to it.
Gotcha.
So for instance, we could do things like we could come out and take 360s. So in all of your areas. So if you're presenting, you know, if you're presenting the home plate club or whatever, you have 360s there. Gotcha. Or now we could do iframing. So if you already have it, we could bring it right into our platform as well. So again, it's all depends what you end up doing. Some teams have like a two deck and one type as well, where if they have two different teams, but same owners, if you're presenting to, you know, team one, it'll look like team one. If you're presenting team two, it'll look like team two. So we've kind of adapted throughout the years and changed, but, and then it comes down to how many users a team uses us for.
Yeah. And so what's your focus with the company? I know you're vice president of business development. Is that, do you have like a region or certain leagues that you work with?
Yeah. So I'm 90% focused on sports on that one. So we actually have a non-sports side of our business as well. That's really taken off. And I'll talk about that in a bit, but, so for myself and, Christy and Tom kind of have our more focus on sports. And then we have about 10 plus others on the non-sports side of the business going after what we call as B2B clients. But I'd say I'm the most, focused on sports in the company right there.
So, well, and you have, I mean, you've been there. So, I mean, I think it just, when you're out there talking to teams, I mean, you know, the respect level of just, you know, you being in the trenches already, you know, is helpful. But
and I know,
go ahead.
Yeah, I said, I always learn something. And Steve said is never burn a bridge. Right. And always, you know, always get your circle and get it as big as you can. Right. And just be the good person. Right. And people always gravitate towards you and help. Right. Be that mentor, help people as well. So that's what I'm doing. I literally feel as when I'm talking to teams as I am helping them. So it's kind of my way to give back to that next generation of people selling for teams.
Yeah, no, that's great. How does it work on non-sports? You said that you guys have a non-sports division.
Yeah, it's fun how it started. One of our teams was presenting to a non-sports company and they love the deck and they're like, this is fantastic. You know, and we had a meeting with them and they said, you do non-sports teams. And we said, sure we do. That's how we started right there. So it's, but it's really taken off. So think about any time you could use a deck, right? So whether you're selling or onboarding or recap or marketing or recruiting or HR, et cetera. So prime example, the Atlanta Braves are a proud partner of ours. And I got a call from Drew at the Braves. And he said, hey, he goes, one of our partners is Kaiser Permanente. And they've kind of fallen in love with the deck that we've given them because they gave them the sales deck when they sold it to them. And then they gave them the recap deck and they kind of set up the meeting. It was actually here in Atlanta where I am. And I went to a meeting and Dave, who was on their marketing side in Kaiser, literally it was 18 people in the room and myself, and it was sales and marketing people. And when I told you, Dave got up and it's like, look, this is why we're bringing on Sports Digital, blah, 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 and goes after it right there. And they saw how we could help. And irony is fast forward a couple months is that's when COVID hit. So now what they use us for, you know, think about before when you were setting up at your office to get your healthcare for the year, you know, they'd set up tables, you go, they give you some free stuff and you talk to them, shake hands, et cetera. Well, you're not going to be able to do that. So now they're able to hit their customers, right, without having to be face to face with them. Now they can do it face to face, what that is, but give them those that custom presentation. Nice. And it has taken off and Kaiser's very happy with us. So
that is what I love just about business in general is, you know, being able to not be focused on that, but now you almost create a whole nother, you know, business within the company.
You know, 100%.
And so I think that's great.
You know, last week we brought on, I think, 10 new pieces of business and only three of them were in sports last week. So seven, I freaking loved it. It was awesome. So I love that we're, you know, think about that ceiling in the non-sports world. I mean, it's an infinite. And and it's so great seeing some of these. And we have companies like, again, like Kaiser and Humana and California Closets and Jostens, and the list goes on and on. It's kind of cool. And now on that side, we're starting to get more call-ins saying, hey, I heard about you. Now, in sports, people know us for the most part, right? But now we've got the non-sports people saying, hey, wow, this is pretty cool. I saw a blank and we'd love your help. Great. We're here for you.
Yeah. So, you know, you're outside the sports side of things. I mean, you know, do you miss that? Do you miss that kind of grind? Or you kind of, you know, got a different.
I don't miss getting on. I don't miss 7 day weeks and getting on the team plane and as cool as it was, right? You know, and going, you know, to away games, but you know, it's a lot of work. I don't miss that part. But I'll say this: I miss the camaraderie. When you work for a team, it's almost like joining a fraternity or sorority, right? And those people, they come from all over the world, right? And they're kind of thrown in there and they become kind of your brothers and sisters. So I miss that part, you know, being that I'm a baseball guy and on the field, like I miss going to batting practice, right? And sitting at the cages and watching that. I mean, that's, for me, that's the best part of life right there is BP and just watching and listening and teaching the game of baseball. But honestly, now I'm kind of at the point in my career where I enjoy almost helping each and every team. I get to, you know, again, we have over 450 partners now. So I get to touch all these people and really help them out, right? And it's cool being a part of that when you're there. So, hey, if I'm at the Braves games, we're helping them. And if I'm at the Atlanta Hawks games, hey, we're helping them. And how can we also help them, make them look good? And that's I just want to, you know, again, I want to make sure that what they're doing, they're going to succeed. Like I loved working for teams. Don't miss it anymore. But I love working for teams, right? And yeah. And I enjoy that. And I want people to know that that is a job. And I don't care if it's a male or a female. I want females to know too. I'm adamant about that, is making sure that anybody could get that job that they want too. So
tell me about that though. You mentioned women. Isn't your company woman owned?
We are, and I'm proud of that's. First reason I'm there, literally, that I saw it firsthand how women were treated in professional sports. I saw it firsthand how women were treated in technology. And Angelina Lawton, she doesn't take much. She's a go-getter right there.
She's the real deal. That's a great deal.
She is awesome. And look, I've got a wife and I've got two girls and 9 and 11 years old. And thank goodness they look like my wife, by the way, not me, but and I saw with this is that I want them to grow up to do anything. And I want them to see Angelina's like, wow, this is a CEO of a company. And this is awesome. And she's in sports. Look what she's doing. And I want that more and more. And I can't stand when people think that there's a ceiling up there. I want to get rid of that freaking ceiling and have anybody get it. You know, I love seeing, seeing that the Marlins bring on their general manager, but you know what? She should have been there 10 years ago. If her name was John Smith, that person's there 10 years ago, right? And shame on us for waiting this long to bring this person that should have been 10 years. So I went again, I will go above and beyond anything I could do ever to help someone like to get to higher positions right there to show the next generations of girls, like look how cool stuff that they can do.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, got to get rid of the good old boys network and
really
open it. I mean, it's like just hire the best people. And, you know, that's how you're going to get your company, you know, ahead the fastest. And that's why, you know, these companies or teams that, you know, are kind of breaking those barriers. I mean, they're going to see that success so much faster than these other ones that are in the Stone Ages. So hopefully more and more will get up to it. But I really like that about, you know, the company and especially in the sports world where it's really tough. You know, it's been tough historically.
100%. But it's gotten much better for sure. But we need to keep this up continually. Yeah. But just continually keep on doing this, right? And getting better and better at it.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. No. Well, how about this? You see some of the stuff I post on LinkedIn. I'm trying to help connect people with jobs and things like that. What kind of advice would you give to, you know, some young people out there? I get hit up all the time, like kids in college that are looking to get in the sports world. What kind of advice do you have? Are you going to be like good old Lou and talk everybody out?
That's right. I work only if you want to be a coach. I'll just say, hey, here's 2 minutes on it. Here's I'd say, right? Live your dream, right? But you have to work your you know what off to get it. Yep. Don't just think, and I say this to be, and by the way, I commend what you do. And I copy it. When I see good jobs, I post it and I'm like, hey guys, this is a great freaking job, blah, blah, blah. And I think everybody should do that right now because we have a lot of friends, right? And family members and ex-colleagues, et cetera, that are looking for jobs and we need to get their butts back working again. So, but for this young generation and this next generation coming up, you know, I always say, don't expect it's going to happen. I give a great story. Again, coming out of undergrad, I shot my resume, again, having the name Holtzman or whatever, to every single baseball team in America, right? I got back two. Not even the Cubs where he played wrote back to me. The Cardinals where my dad played wrote back to me. Like, just two for, like, hey, we'd love to interview you. But it was for, you know, for a nothing position or whatever. But, like, you can't just expect it. So, yes, you are going to apply on the Teamwork Online, LinkedIn's, et cetera. But you need to reach out to people at those organizations, at those teams. And don't be afraid to. LinkedIn is awesome. You can literally connect. Once they're connected to you, you can connect with them and they will see it. They may not get back to you instantly, but they saw it. Yep. Don't be afraid to reach out and ask them for advice. You know, ask them for some help. Then use the magic of LinkedIn is find somebody, right, that's in that person's circle that maybe can put you in touch with that person. Because I know, like, when I hired before is I always look at, you know, a few things, right? If are they from St. Louis? Great. Left side of the pile. You know, did they go to University of Kansas or Northern Illinois? Great. Left side of the pile, you know, or if someone, but if it comes highly regarded from someone, great. Left side of the pile. And if not, you know, because there's so much, you know, especially like when you do it on Teamwork, they may get 15,000 applicants. The person's not going to go through 15,000. That's why there's algorithms that could, you know, start weeding things out. So you got to find a way in. So don't just assume because you applied on their company website that they're going to see it. You got to be proactive, because if you aren't, somebody is, and they're going to go get your job. And I say that to people all the time, but people want to talk about their careers, right? They will do it to you and just say, hey, can I buy you a cup of coffee? Or it's just, I'd love to pick your brain and see how you got there. And then once you're there, you're there. Then you work your ass off, but you got to get in that circle first. And yeah, that's the big part.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a big part. I think LinkedIn could be such a great tool for people. And, you know, don't just, you know, have a page. I mean, but get active, you know, engage. I mean, you know, my LinkedIn has exploded over the last probably year, like 20,000 plus new followers in the last year. I'm over 31 or 2,000. And it's like, just from getting active.
Isn't that crazy?
That's really all it is starting to post. Starting to, you know, connect with people. And I do it. I get a lot of requests as far as, you know, do you have 15 minutes? And I try to schedule as many of those calls as I can. But I also do the same thing.
Yeah.
And I'm connecting with different people throughout different, you know, positions in sports. Cause you know, it's good to have friends in the business all around. You never know how things will work out or what, but it's a small world.
No question.
Of people you've worked with, and where they're all at now, you know.
No question. Over. Yeah, utilize your circle, and that's a big one. Utilize where you went to high school, alum there, or your college, or your fraternity or your sorority. Because people, like I said, if somebody ever contacts me from Kansas, I'm always going. You see a Kansas in my background right there. I'm always going to call you back. Trust me, I will do that. Right? I shouldn't say it too loud, but I will. At Northern Illinois, where I went to grad school, same thing. Always going to look out for people. But ironic that you said that literally right before this call. I'm not going to tell you who wrote this to me, but it said, I'm reading this right now from LinkedIn. It says, hi, Doug. I'm a graduating senior at Wake Forest and have appreciated all of your posts helping connect to roles. I'd love to hop on a call and then learn more about your background and current role at a time of your convenience, blah, 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 blah. That takes a lot of, you know what, to do that. Look, I was literally starting to write her back as we joined, but I'll do it afterwards. But of course, I'm going to talk to her, yeah. Right? That takes a lot to do, but I'm literally our first call. I'm going to say, I was very impressed to do it. You don't know who I am. Obviously you've seen some of this stuff, but that's impressive to do that. So of course I'm going to take a few minutes to talk to her and try to see what I can do.
And I think most people out there in our positions will do the same. I mean, there's always going to be some that, you know, will not spend that time, but I think, you know, for the most part in our industry, a lot of people are going to kind of return that favor. And we all started somewhere.
No question.
I think we have a duty to help as many people as we can, where we can. And, you know, it's a part that I really enjoy. And just in the last year starting the podcast, and I don't know if you saw before, but I was doing Free Agent Fridays,
mm-hmm. videos
with people who lost jobs. And it was probably one of the most rewarding things that I've done. In my career, I didn't get paid for it. I spent a lot of time. I did over 100 of them, but I was able to help people that needed it. And, it's really, and I think that part of that is, you know, why, my LinkedIn has exploded too.
Mm-hmm.
People see that. And I think when you're genuine, it really, changes a lot. So
no question. But I for sure tell people you got to have a LinkedIn page and be active, like make comments on things, like things, you know, be engaged, put stuff up. You know, I put something up today, but because I literally was talking with someone in baseball yesterday about stats, like, hey, what are these records that aren't going to ever be broken? And, you know, 50 messages later on, it was kind of cool. And you're just listening to people. But, you know, it's the end of the day, we all work in sports. Like, how cool is that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's much worse things to be doing right now than working in the sports world. So enjoy it. Work your butt off while you're there, but enjoy it and help people, right? Yeah. Remember how you got there and how you, you know, not struggle, but at the beginning of your career and how tough it was, right? To where you are now, it's night and day difference. But you had people along the way that helped. Now, like I said, I always go back to Steve Shanwell, Mark Sauer, and Marty Hendon. You know, right? those people helped frame where I am today. Like, yeah. I am indebted to them for life on that one.
Yep. You just got to ask.
No question.
Be persistent. But Doug, man, I appreciate you joining me. I love chatting with you, man. We'll definitely be chatting some more. And, you know, if you get to Central Florida, definitely let's grab some lunch. I know I'll be up in Atlanta at least sometime in the next few months. So
I love it and would love to do that. So thank you for having me. As I always say to people, stay healthy and safe. Crazy freaking world that we live in, right? But hopefully we'll get through this.
Hey, podcast fans. Thanks for listening to today's episode of The Andrew Haynes Show. If you enjoyed it, be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions, be sure to reach out to Andrew on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time.